8 minutes after the hour, Cure International is the ministry spotlight of the month here at Faith Radio, and I have Paul Goldsmith on from Cure International. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, your area code 312, is that, what is that, Chicago?
Yes, sir.
And
that's where I'm from.
Yo, nice. And what temperature do you have today?
Oh, you know, it's been a mild winter, so it's not too bad. Pretty nice. Going to be a good day.
Okay, because we're back to semi-freezing, which we can't stand. But I was on the web last night, and I watched the video of Ellen, and that ripped my heart out.
And you were checking out the Cure website, and every
I was.
Single story will rip your heart out. I was
no kidding.
Ellen who? Oh, of course, you're watching the Cure Kids. So it's really incredible. Incredible website. Bill, you were just talking about before the break, what kind of people do we want to be and sharing our faith?
No kidding.
I'll tell you, this is the kind of people I want to be. Join these doctors and nurses around the world that are restoring little bodies and sharing their faith by healing kids. And it will break your heart. So that's a fair warning. When you go to cure.org, you are going to be crushed, but in the best possible way, because that's what we do. Cure International heals kids and tells them about Jesus. And the best part is we're able to share their stories on the website in real time. So you can follow along with children like Ellen and see their recovery and wish them well. Tell them you're praying for them. And we'll send those messages along. And oftentimes we'll even get them to send a message back. So thanks for checking that out. It really is quite incredible. There's nothing else like it where you can be a part of healing kids in real time.
Mm-hmm. Paul, I'm kind of a slow learner, but I want you to just kind of explain again what the mission of Cure International is, because it is reaching kids who need medical help in very desperate places and also giving them the love of Jesus. Did I do a fairly good job of that? Explain more.
Sure thing, Bill. It's pretty simple, really. When Jesus told his disciples, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 9, verse 2, Jesus sends out his disciples, and he says he wants them to proclaim his kingdom and heal the sick. And that's exactly what Cure's mission is: heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God. And we do that by having surgical hospitals in poor countries around the world, in places like Kabul, Afghanistan, in places like Niger and Ethiopia and India and Egypt. And we stitch together broken little bodies, and we tell them God loves them. And so Cure is just a bunch of doctors and nurses around the world healing kids and sharing the love of Jesus with kids and their families, and telling these kids who are told when they're born with a physical disability, something like club foot or a cleft lip or palate, they're told they're cursed by God. We tell them exactly the opposite. No, you're not cursed. You're blessed. You're loved by God. And it's because of people that listen to radio stations like this in the United States that go to the website, go to cure.org, they see the stories, they give, and their money goes directly to those hospitals to heal the kids.
So, Paul, these little kids, when they're told they're cursed and they're different and they feel horrible about themselves, one of the big problems that this video talked about was kids will start going into isolation, which is the opposite of what kids should be doing.
Absolutely. Well, I have three kids myself, and they just love to be with their friends and go out and play. And that's pretty universal. And kids love to be kids. And unfortunately, when a child is born with a disability, particularly in a developing country, they're not able to go out and play. And so they are kind of hidden away. And if they're seen as a curse, oftentimes their families will hide them and because they don't want others to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times, unfortunately, mom gets blamed because mom, the theology goes, if mom must have sinned, done something wrong to have a child with a physical disability. So these kids are isolated and they're kept away from other kids and they're often the last to eat. And oftentimes when a child doesn't get the treatment they need, they don't, so they're not able to go to school. And then they unfortunately end up as, you know, beggars. And we want to prevent all of that. And the great news is these aren't things we have to figure out. These are correctable disabilities. So we have the knowledge. We have the hospitals. We just need the resources to stitch these kids back together.
Mm-hmm. Paul, when you talk about these kids being told that they're like cursed, what is the origin of that? Is that a cultural, spiritual origin? Who is saying that, and where is that coming from? I'm curious. I know in over here we talk about he's the black sheep of the family, and it's kind of meant as a backhanded compliment. But when you're cursing a kid, it's like, where does that come from? And that is unbelievably devastating to a little psyche and to probably the whole family.
Well, and it's contrary, obviously, to the God that we worship and follow. And so it's just wicked, cultural bad theology. Oftentimes, these families are told to go to the local witch doctor and, give their last animal away to be able to pay the fees for this witch doctor to put together a potion to heal their kid. And when that doesn't work, they're out of options. So somebody tells them about cure, and we tell them, no, you weren't cursed at all. You're loved by God. And that's the thing. More than the physical care, the spiritual and emotional care that goes on in these cure hospitals is really the secret sauce. Because when that child with that disability comes in the door for the first time, the staff go directly to the child and say how beautiful that baby girl is or that boy. And they pick them up. And no stranger has ever picked up their deformed baby before.
Wow.
They've looked at them, with disgust. And it's like, no, you're loved. And we're so glad you're here. We can fix this. God sent you here. And he loves you, and we love you, and we're going to take care of you. And we get to know these families because while they're in for their surgical treatment, mom doesn't have the means for transportation to go back and forth. Oftentimes they come from 10, 12 hours away by bus. And so mom sleeps in the bed right there next to the baby. We feed him three healthy, nutritious meals a day, so they're healthy for surgery. And that gives our spiritual ministry team an opportunity. They make the bedside rounds just like the medical staff does every single day and gets to know the family and tells them, about the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Bill, three-quarters of Jesus' miracles were healing people.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of get a crack out of people asking, what would Jesus do? You got the bracelet WWJD? he would heal people, and that's exactly what his people are doing today around the world.
Right. Your description of doctors and nurses loving these children who wouldn't otherwise be picked up or touched by people produced lots of smiles and moistened eyeballs here in the studio. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Paul Goldsmith about Cure International, which is, in fact, the ministry spotlight for the month here at Faith Radio. And we're going to hear some more stories of children and families who have been changed by the ministry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Eighteen minutes after the hour, welcome back. We're talking to Paul Goldsmith from Cure International. And Paul, I want to ask you, this is not a rescue mission where you barge in, because as fast as somebody barges in, they can also barge out just as fast. You're really trying to help build up the infrastructure of the medical help in the areas that you're going into and trying to establish something that is sustainable. Am I right?
Absolutely right. You're absolutely correct, Bill. In fact, Cure International isn't interested, in taking over and colonizing. We are interested in coming alongside individuals in where they live, and we train up doctors and nurses so that they operate in their own country. So our neurosurgeons in Uganda are from Uganda, and so we come alongside. We employ the only neurosurgeons in Uganda and in places like Zambia. And so we come alongside and we bring the medical experience and expertise and we train them and then we help them and we back off. And so Cure has 1,500 staff members around the world, and less than 100 of us are Westerners and, Americans. Our staff are from, India, and we come alongside and we help them with guidance and instruction and training programs so that they're there for generations to come and not dependent on us.
Mm-hmm.
They just need the resources and the infrastructure to help treat children with correctable disabilities who otherwise just don't have access. If your son or daughter breaks their leg, playing soccer, you take them immediately to the ER and you get it fixed and you sort out how to pay for it later. In these places like India and like Kenya and like Zambia, that's not how it works. And there just isn't the access to this surgical care. And so there's just no hope. These kids live with these broken bones and disabilities needlessly for years until someone comes alongside and tells them, you know, I heard about this cure hospital the Christians are doing. Go see the cure hospital, and they can treat this. The cure is the leading provider of club foot treatment in the world, and it's not seen in the United States because when a baby's born with their feet pointed inward, they treat it right up. It's easily correctable, and lots of children in the U.S. are born with that, but we fix it right at birth. And in India, that's not the case. In those sorts of situations, that you're just out of luck, and so then the kids end up, you know, not being able to walk and not being able to go out and play soccer. And so we're fixing it as soon as we learn about it. And Cure is the number one provider in the world of club foot treatment, for example.
Yeah, Paul, do you have some ink in your passport? Have you been to some of these places and witnessed firsthand some of the things that you've were talking about?
Oh man, it's the coolest thing ever. So I have been to the Cure Hospital in the Dominican Republic, for example. So, you know, lots of folks go to the Dominican for vacation. There's definitely a tourism side of that. What you don't see when you go on vacation is the rest of the population that lives in poverty. And those are such beautiful people. And to get to meet them, we celebrated a girl's 16th birthday. She was there for treatment at the Cure Hospital in Dominican Republic. It was the first birthday she ever celebrated. The Cure staff got a cake. It was a party. It's a Cure family. And so it's just a beautiful thing. That's just a hop and a skip, you know, from our shores here in the United States. And I've also, you know, been able, had a blessing to take a Christian music artist. Lauren Daigle is an up-and-coming artist and pretty popular these days, and she wanted to see a Cure Hospital. So I was able to join her in August visiting the Cure Hospital in Zambia so she could play with the little kids in the ward and be able to sing to them and encourage them. And, you know, she fell in love and took us, you know, took Cure on her last concert tour. And so, and she found out about it. It's kind of funny. Once you find out about it, you got to tell all your friends because it's like the greatest thing ever. She found out about it from her friend. You may have heard of him, Chris Tomlin. He writes
the
song.
Heard of him. No, I don't know who that is. But
I think he's got a big career ahead of himself. But he's on the board of directors of Cure. So if you go to cure.org, you look at the staff, you look at the board of directors. Chris Tomlin, who doesn't put his name by something he doesn't believe in, is on the board of Cure and telling all of his friends. And so it's really great and leads to opportunities, you know, like this with Faith Radio.
Mm-hmm. So how about one more story of a child that you had a firsthand experience watching be healed? Because I love these stories.
Oh, every story, you just scroll the Cure website, and every story could be a movie. It's incredible. Wow. You're like, are you kidding me? That baby, it really... It brought it home to me when I was in the Cure Hospital in Zambia, and I went into surgery, and I watched this four-month-old baby on the operating table, and the doctors obviously taking extreme care. They were doing brain surgery. This child had hydrocephalus, which is also sometimes called water on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Grace, of all things.
Wow.
And I just watched it and, you know, tried not to pass out, not because it was bloody or anything like that. It's just the amazing miracle that was taking place. Grace would not survive that condition if she didn't receive treatment. That's a fatal condition. And her life was saved by that neurosurgeon, that Zambian neurosurgeon, went into her brain and, you know, fixed it up so that she wouldn't keep retaining water and her head wouldn't grow larger and larger until, you know, it was fatal. She's going to have a completely different life. So later that afternoon, I walk into the ward, and Grace is laying in the bed. Her mom's just sitting right there. And, you know, it just struck me. Their entire trajectory of their life is completely different. Mm. And then I was, you know, just on the website, cure.org, later that day, and we had the picture of Grace. And I know I work for Cure, so I take for granted, of course, we tell the kids stories. But literally, that baby's face was on the website that day. And this is the real deal, folks. It's not, stock photos. We take one picture of one kid. It's no. Every kid is treated with dignity. We know their name. We know their mom's name. We know their story. And we're sharing those stories with folks that just want to come alongside. A surgery in the United States, it's ridiculous, the expense and all of that. And we're debating that right now in our government. The beautiful thing is we cut through all of that. A surgery, average cost is $1,000. We can transform a child's life.
Wow. Right?
That's incredible. Not everybody can do $1,000. So some folks, come alongside and we basically work together as a church, as a body, and give what we can and heal kids together.
Yeah.
Month after month.
Yeah, Paul, I love your passion. And the website is cure.org. Go on there, watch some of those videos, and you will know what we're talking about. And reaching for your wallet will be easy. Trust me. It is 26 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back.